Hello and welcome to episode 3 of SLP Mommy of Apraxia's podcast. My name is Laura Smith, and I am the voice behind SLP Mommy of Apraxia and this podcast. I am a speech-language pathologist specializing in childhood apraxia of speech, as well as a mother to a 9, almost 10-year-old daughter with complex communication needs, one of which is apraxia among others. I'm excited to talk to you guys today, October 1st, because it starts AAC Awareness Month. And this is a great opportunity to spread the word about AAC and encourage everyone to post about AAC and to spread awareness as to what it is. So, what is AAC? AAC is an acronym that stands for Augmentative and or Alternative Communication, and it can be either low-tech or high-tech. And it's a way to help a child who isn't able to verbally communicate, because communication is so much more than just verbal speech. In speech-language pathology, we like to talk about all different forms of communication, and these can be in the way of gestures, facial expressions, body language. All of that is communication, and that goes beyond just being able to verbalize, you know, what you want or what you need. And AAC can be a really good way of providing that alternative communication if a child can't speak, but it also can provide a great form of augmentative communication, meaning it's helping, you know, facilitate a speech in a child who may have limited speech abilities. So there are two different types of AAC. We have low-tech and high-tech. Low-tech really includes the picture exchange system, if you've heard of that, or any sort of picture system where the child, you know, has a choice of pictures and they can either point to the picture or hand the picture in a true picture exchange system, hand the picture to a communication partner and communicate, you know, a basic want. I did this actually when my daughter was 2.5. Around 2.5, she still had very, very limited speech due to her childhood apraxia of speech and language disorder, and she could not indicate whether she wanted water, milk, or juice. And I can remember printing out pictures of water, milk, and juice, laminating them, and putting them on my refrigerator. And instead of just pointing to the fridge, which is a form of communication, I gave her a low-tech augmentative or alternative form of communication in the way of pictures, and she would have to point to what she wanted. And in this way, as opposed to just pointing to a general need, we got language in there. It's more specific. She can tell me specifically what she wanted to drink out of the refrigerator. So I remember starting that early in the early days. That progressed to another form of low-tech AAC, which is called the GoTalk. And this is just a very basic app that you can download now to a device. In my case, I downloaded it to my Apple iPad. In the schools, I remember using an actual green device, and you could switch out picture overlays in and out. It might have had 9 buttons, 12 buttons, and you could put in the pictures, and then you push a button and it would speak that picture to you. So not a dynamic screen. All of these would have been pictures that you were putting in and out of the device. And on my iPad, it was the same. I took pictures of things around the house, and then I programmed them into this very low-tech, limited AAC option of the GoTalk. And when my daughter wanted to request ball or swing or food, I had a limited amount of choices that she could at least use actual language, actual words, instead of pointing to let me know what she wanted. Why is this important? What does it matter? You know, parents oftentimes say, well, I know what they wanted. They pointed to it. But what we're really getting at is language, and language is different than speech. So when we're talking about speech, we're really just referring to sound production, but language is vocabulary and grammar and syntax. Syntax meaning, you know, kind of like the order of a sentence and the way a sentence is put together. And pointing doesn't afford a child opportunities to use language. And so we can use AAC as a means of growing vocabulary, growing knowing language. We can be putting two words together on an AAC device, much like a child with who has the capability of verbal speech might do, but cannot because they have some sort of other disability that's making it difficult for them to verbalize. So we can still work on language and initiation of language through AAC while a child is pre-verbal or non-verbal, waiting to get that verbal speech. So I feel like, you know, a lot of times this really reduced frustration. In my case, my daughter wasn't an overly frustrated toddler, even though she had such limited speech capabilities. But I do know that there are so many toddlers that have temper tantrums due to that lack of communication, and this can alleviate so much. Another way to use them would be when you are doing a book and reading a book, instead of the child pointing to pictures, you can actually ask, "What is this?" and have a pre-programmed device with all the vocabulary words that the child can then point to and tell you what they see using AAC. The other form of AAC then gets into high tech. And high tech really is referring to dynamic devices. So dynamic devices are really screens, and they are very, you know, you can get those on the iPad too, or, you know, a tablet. And I think my favorite right now, and I don't work for them, this is only a plug because I simply love it, but my favorite right now really is the Touch Chat. And I did notice on social media that the Touch Chat is on sale for 50% this month, or at least these next 2 weeks in the first week of October. And I just highly recommend this app. I feel like it's a pretty intuitive app. It has picture symbols, but you can also add your own pictures. And I just find kids to be really responsive to it. I find it really parent user friendly, and it's a good one. So, you know, I don't get paid for saying that. I just noticed that it was on sale. And since this is an AAC podcast, I thought I'd throw it out there. But at any rate, that's a form of a high-tech device. Those apps do tend to be expensive. But again, you are adding, you know, those devices have the capability of storing more vocabulary and having more opportunities for combining words, using verbs even, making sentences, formulating sentences. And this is really important when a child is not able to speak, because again, that speech component, very different than language. And so we can remember that we are building language and initiation around the AAC device while we might still be trying to promote speech in the preverbal child. The other way that we can use AAC, we have two forms called unaided and aided. So in unaided AAC, that is where the child is using gestures, but this also includes American Sign Language. So in early intervention, you might see SLPs, speech language pathologists, introducing sign as a way to, again, build language and communicate using a more formal means of language as opposed to just a rudimentary gesture, body language, or something of that nature. So I really, really love it when I get children who have been exposed to sign language, especially since I specialize in childhood apraxia of speech. It ends up being an amazing way to help cue the child sometimes with those words. So in apraxia of speech therapy, cueing is very important. They can be in the form of verbal cues, visual cues, tactile cues, but cueing is an essential component to be able to help the child's brain plan and program, since really the problem is in the planning and the programming, not so much the execution. And let's say I'm trying to get a child to combine words and they have a sign for want, an eye, I can use the sign as a way to promote verbal speech in them while they're saying it once we get there. So just a really powerful form of communication that really can serve so many different purposes as the child progresses through the, you know, through their childhood. The other form, opposite of unaided, then would of course be aided. And aided is really going to refer to those pictures, tablets, and then we have something called an SGD. You might see that acronym, and SGD refers to speech generating device. And so a speech generating device is, for example, like Touch Chat. touch chat, but there are numerous. And, the child pushes a button that, has a symbol, and then speech, the SGD, the speech generating device, speaks what the symbol was that was touched. So that would be aided, because with aided communication, you typically need a partner that's helping you learn that system and facilitate that learning. So either one is great, though. And I know that a worry that I hear time and time again is parents are concerned that, by using some form of AAC, even if it is sign, that unaided form, that we are giving up on verbal speech, or the child shuts down and is using a preference now for the AAC as opposed to their verbal speech. And there are just, I'm here to tell you and alleviate those fears, that there are just so many studies that show the opposite is true. AAC in whatever form has been shown time and time again in the research to promote and facilitate verbal speech. In fact, I have to tell you, I just, had an evaluation probably 2 weeks ago, and the child is 12 with a chromosomal disorder, and he's been getting amazing AAC therapy, and they didn't really think verbal speech was in the equation, and so they've been putting all of their energy into this AAC device, which he's amazing at. And all of a sudden, he started to imitate this speech generating device. So as the AAC device spoke for him, he in turn was starting to imitate the device. And that is the best example I can think of how this AAC device allowed him to build his language skills while he did not have the capability of verbal speech. And then once his language skills, have been built and growing, and we've got this nice rich vocabulary, and he can formulate sentences on his talker, another informal name you might hear SLPs use to describe an SGD device or SGD. But once he got these sentences, he's starting to imitate. And so that is the perfect example of an AAC device facilitating verbal speech. So I really, really encourage parents not to throw away that device, because it serves so many valuable purposes for communication, aside from just producing the sounds correctly, which is really what speech is. So anyway, I could also tell you that when Ashlyn, my daughter, who, was little, I did introduce baby sign really, really early. I introduced it around 6 to 8 months, and there's lots of resources you can consult to do baby signs. In mine, I happen to have a book on baby signs, but I know my daughter and a lot of my clients are huge fans of the signing time videos. And I don't get it. I don't get paid for saying that either, but I just want to throw it out there that they're so fun. Rachel Coleman, I think, is the person who created those, and she's just got catchy songs and she signs during them. And my daughter loved it, and it's a really good way to give them and build language while we're working on speech. I'll tell you another story. I have a three, almost four, and child with Down syndrome, and he had been introduced to baby sign very early on. He watched the signing time videos, loved the signing time videos, and he, was able to combine two words at the time that I met him using sign language, even though he had a handful of verbal speech words. So sign language really has been so great, while we're working on verbal speech, helping him build his language, reduce frustration, being able to communicate, using an alternative form of communication while we're trying to work on that speech motor planning component. So, and again, with him, I can use those signs as sign cues to help him combine words when we're working on verbal speech too. So, really, really great. I was just attending a talk at the Apraxia conference this last July, and Lynn Carahalli was also talking about the implications of our cerebellum in motor planning and speech. And she was just talking about how the cerebellum kind of responsible for these motor movements that we do, and gestures are a way to facilitate verbal speech as well. And that would include sign language, because, motor promotes motor. So we have two forms of motor neurons kind of firing, and they're helping to promote each other. So motor speech and these motoric gestures. So I just find that really fascinating, and I just never want any parent to be discouraged from using these because they are such a great and important facilitator. So that really concludes this this podcast. I'm so excited to keep doing these. I'm so excited for AAC Awareness Month. Hop online, Google search it, find it on social media. There should be lots and lots of great information at your fingertips. And please, 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 if you are a parent or a professional, do not ever worry that it's going to inhibit speech. It only does the opposite. So thank you for listening, and I will see you all next time.